Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, a very warm welcome to the Racing Post Ryder Cup postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to 3 days of thrilling action are Steve Palmer, Paddy Powers, Ian McLaughlin, and later on the legend that is Jeremy Chapman will hopefully be joining us as well to discuss the burning issue of who will come out on top of 3 days of combat at the Golf Nationale in Paris. The Americans or the Europeans, as well as the outright, will be looking right down into all the derivatives, top scorers, you name it, hole in one, I don't know, there's a million and one markets. Ian's got them all ready for us. Hopefully Steve has had a good study up. But before we look ahead, let's look back to a momentous week last week. Steve, fantastic stuff. You were all over Tiger Woods. He got the business done and the Palmer bank balance has been boosted. Well done, mate. How was it? I asked you last week, would you cry tears of joy if he won? Did you in the end have a little sob?
Well, I can't imagine I was the only one who did. I mean, it was a real tearjerker, wasn't it?
It was
even Tiger,
wasn't it?
Tiger's typically cool as a cucumber, and even he admitted he was welling up while he was walking up the 18th. And it was like a scene from Happy Gilmore, wasn't it, when the crowd was swamping up behind him on the 18th hole there.
At what point did you go?
Oh, I think that was the moment when the crowd almost enveloped him, didn't he? I think that was the moment that I went. It was a bit unprofessional. He still had work to do, but... It was hard not to feel emotional about it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I mean, even my mum texted me to say that she found it. She found herself welling up, and she's never been a huge Tiger fan. I think, it's just a wonderful sort of human interest story, wasn't it?
Was she welling up because her son had won 30 bags, or just because she loved Tiger? Do you think?
Well, a little bit of both, I think. But it was great to see Tiger so happy. I've never seen him like that in an interview before. He normally likes to retain a bit of composure, didn't he? But he was like a little schoolboy, wasn't he? Afterwards, he was giddy.
I don't suppose you retained your composure particularly, did you? What are you going to spend the money
on? Illness sort of forced me to really. I had a really bad sort of common cold, so that kept my feet on the ground. I don't know what I spend the money on. I mean, hopefully just bigger bets and the eventual face spitter that everyone is urging me to do as soon as possible. I need to release that spittle on your face as soon as possible.
Everyone except me. Ian, what was it like from a bookie's perspective? Disaster, or did you manage to ride out the Tiger revival?
We rode out the Tiger revival. Like, from the podcast last week, I was quite keen on them as well. Obviously, that meant we took a strong position holding them in the outright market around 11-1 mark. So it was no problem at all with him winning. Well, happy out. I was a little bit misty eyed as well when he's walking up the green at my computer desk. So thankfully the tournament was over, because I couldn't be able to trade it if my eyes were getting misty up with tears. So yeah,
it was
incredible scene. Like, given the struggles he's been, let alone in the last 6-7 years, but the last 15 months, like, he's had his back fused 15 months ago. Like, that's an incredibly painful surgery. He was in bed for 2 months. He had a DUI for painkillers. He's been taking painkillers too much. Like, it looked like he was completely gone a year ago. Like, he's never coming back. And to win the Tour Champions 12 months later, and let alone almost win the FedEx Cup for being the most consistent player all year, it's literally one of the most incredible stories I've seen in sport.
It's beautiful, isn't it? And looking ahead to next year now, Ian, I suppose golf betting can expect to have a good old revival in line with Tiger's revival, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. The monitors were lighting up already. Masters, Open, US Open, PGA, they all want them for everything. So yeah, it's good to be back. It's good to have them back for sure.
Okay, so great stuff from Tiger, and obviously he is very much a big part of the Ryder Cup, which starts in France on Friday. Let's look at your questions. Thank you very much for all these. William, good old William Kajani, top man, William. He says, will the Golf Nationale suit one team over another? Ian, you can take that one.
Absolutely. It'll suit Europe exponentially more than USA.
It will. Why?
It's just the perfect fit for them. They play the French Open here every year. I think almost every player bar Rory has played a competitive round here. Jim Furyk said during the week that 6 of his US team are only seeing the course for the first time this week. That's a massive negative for the US. Tommy Fleetwood, Alex Noren, already winners here. Francesco Molinari, he's had 3 seconds in the last 7 years. It just looks a perfect fit for them. I don't think it'll come to a better course.
Really? Okay, Stuart Akister says, should we look to take on Tiger in all markets this weekend? Steve, how do you think Tiger will be? Will he be pumped up or completely shot?
I think he'd be shattered, wouldn't he? I mean, he just invested everything he had in that tournament, and I don't know how many matches he'll play. I mean, he's assured Furyk previously that he can play 36 holes in a day. He says he's strong enough for that. He says he does it in practice a lot, but that's very different. You know, when you drive, he says he drives around in the car. It's a two-hour rounds at home. So it's whether he'll get five matches and whether you want to oppose him in the top scorer markets. I think Furyk will play him for five, actually. I think Tiger will, you know, he likes being a man's man, doesn't he? I think he'll shrug off the suggestion that he needs a rest, and I think he'll play five, and that means you shouldn't really be opposing him in markets because he obviously has a great opportunity to score points.
Okay, Phil Chapman says, why aren't Europe favourites? The way Reed, Mickelson and Deschambeau finished the weekend. Well, Deschambeau finished the weekend okay, not so much the other two. But Ian, why aren't Europe favourites?
I really don't know either. I still make them favourites at this stage. I think it's just the playoffs is such a recency bias-driven thing for the Ryder Cup market. DeChambeau's won twice. Woods has won the Tour Championship. Brooks has won the PGA. So it's all USA. All the casual punters can see them. So they're just going to keep punting the USA at any price, really. 10 to 11, 5 to 6. The even money that we were talking about maybe 6 weeks ago is clearly gone. So I still make Europe fab. So obviously...
You agree then?
I agree, absolutely, yeah.
Steve...
Do it for Paddy Power then, Ian. Do it for Paddy Power. Flip the prices. Be brave. I agree. I think the prices should be flipped. I think Europe should be slightly odds on and USA should be slightly odds against. So, you know, go for it, Ian. Yeah, imagine the nice lopsided book you get there. Yeah.
I'll just run out the door before I leave.
Steve, James Russell wants to know, what's going to be your biggest treat with the winnings?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to think about that. Yeah, I've been straight into the Ryder Cup battle. But as I say, I'm just looking to give myself a chance of bigger and more glorious bets.
But surely you should do something with this. I mean, 32 grand is a lot of money, isn't it? Is there any...
Well, the wife's been asking for a new coat, so maybe I'll get her a 32-bag coat.
God,
there's a couple of bags from the places as well. It all went well last week.
Exactly, yeah.
Is mink very expensive, is it?
I think so, yeah.
Don't get mink.
Maybe a mink.
No, you don't want real fur.
No, mink's, yeah, okay. Mink's not very nice, is it? No. I didn't go to SeaWorld because I'm worried about the orcas. No.
What should we go with next? Let's have a look. Rich wants to know, considering other players' fitness and form, is Rose a certainty for top European point scorer? Top European point scorer? And if anyone is going over, where will we find the cheap beer? Well, I don't think any of us are going over, but Steve, is Rose a good bet for top European, do you think?
No, I mean, you talk about Tiger Woods being knackered. I mean, Justin Rose also looked like he invested a fair old amount of energy getting the FedEx Cup done. And I don't think the Rose and Stenson combination can play every day. I think Stenson's fitness is a bit of an issue, so maybe Stenson will have to sit out a session or two. So, no, I don't think Justin Rose is a great bet. And, yeah, I've no idea on the pubs. They drink wine in France, don't they? It's all about the wine, so I don't know. Isn't Joe Champion going over there for a day?
He might
have the inside track.
Okay, Auntie Tam says this course could be the worst course to hold the Ryder Cup in terms of greens, fairways and bunkers. This is kind in comparison to a very top greenkeeper I know who visited the course in May. Any opinions? Do you think it could be a bad course or a beauty?
Bad course for the Americans. I mean, the Americans might think that. I don't think the Europeans be thinking that. It's a massive edge for the Europeans to know this course. It's quite a quirky little course, quite a fiddly little test. So, yeah, I think the Americans might turn up and think, oh, blimey, this is not great. It's a massive contrast to last year. Like, Hazeltine was a really easy sort of bomber's paradise. Pins in the centre of the greens every day. This is going to, it's going to test you a little bit more. More of a shot maker's track, more accuracy required, lots of watery graves around. So, the Americans might think that, but the Europeans certainly won't.
Because, Ian, I mean, the Americans are talking about this almost in terms of it's a crazy golf course or something, isn't it? They're really kind of hung up on how quirky it is, aren't they?
Absolutely. And just going back to the point, I think it's a perfect course to stage a Ryder Cup. It's one of these stadium courses, a lot of water, there's going to be a lot of trouble around, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs, there's going to be... matches going to 18th, and obviously the last four holes, I should say, going to the last four hole stretch, that's one of the best stretches in golf in terms of what you want for a Ryder Cup. So, yeah, I have to disagree with that point that it's one of the worst courses going to Ryder Cup. I personally think it's one of the best, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, me too. And it gives you a chance to say Le Golf National again, didn't
it,
Chris?
Of course.
Very impressed with that.
Ian, DJ McCarry says, who would you guys like to see out first in the singles on Sunday for both teams? So, Ian, you're Thomas Bjorn, and Steve, you are Jim Furyk. Who are you going to put? Who are the first three on the team sheet each? Starting with you, Ian.
I'll go Rory McIlroy. I'm trying to do a Thomas Bjorn impression there. I'll go Rory McIlroy as my first singles player.
Okay. And Steve, who's Rory going to be playing against?
He's going to be playing against Patrick Reed again, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Jolly good. Right then, that's enough of the questions. Thank you very much for all those. Sorry I couldn't get through all of them, but I want to get the lads' opinions on who, where the value lies. Let's deal with the outright first. First, remind us of the latest betting from Paddy Power, Ian.
Latest betting is 10 to 11 USA, Europe 5 to 4, and the tie at 11 to 1.
Tie at 11 to 1. And where's the money been in recent days, Ian?
Recent days, the money is one-way traffic for the Americans.
Okay, and Steve, who will win the Ryder Cup on Sunday?
I think Europe will win the Ryder Cup on Sunday. I think a scoreline of 16-12 is a possibility, maybe 15.5, 12.5. But anything odds against Europe is a great bet. As I say, I think the prices should be flipped. I think course knowledge is the key to this. The Europeans know it well, and only three of the American side have ever played there in the French Open. Two of them missed the cut. Brooks Koepka played there ages ago and missed the cut. Bubba Watson famously went there and disgraced himself. Missed the cut by four shots, started slating the tournament and the very sort of disparaging remarks about Paris in general. And Justin Thomas is the only one that bothered to turn up for the French Open this year. So Thomas finished eighth. He's the only one with any course form in the book. I don't think they've given themselves enough time to get to know what is, as we've discussed, quite an unusual course. They've come over jet-lagged. They wouldn't have got much work done on Monday. So basically Tuesday, Wednesday are the only days for solid practice. Thursday, you've got the opening ceremony in the early evening. So that's a short day of practice. I think the key to this Ryder Cup is the course knowledge. That's why this course was selected. Europe knew it gave them an edge. Thomas Bjorn's going to squeeze every little bit out of that. And the American away record is abysmal. They've not won an away match for 25 years.
25 years
since they've won an away match. They've only won two of their nine away matches against Europe. You know, in 1979 is the first time Europe played. Previously, it was Great Britain and Ireland. And USA have only won two of nine away matches in Europe.
That's
so
incredible.
The idea that these superstars are going to come over and destroy us is nonsense, in my opinion.
But Steve, I remember when we were out there 10 years ago in Valhalla, we were there for the practice days, weren't we? And they really do exhaustively test the course. Is that not long enough for them to pick up the vagaries of the track?
I don't think so, no. It's a different vibe, isn't it? When you got a pencil in your hand, is that the expression they like to use? Now, when you've got a scorecard in your hand, it's a different vibe. You know, the practice days can't replicate what happens. And it is a course where course management is crucial. You know, you're not going to turn up at this course and just unload on it. There's a lot of bombers in the American side. I mean, if Dustin Johnson turns up here expecting, with the same sort of attitude he had at Carnoustie for the Open, he got his comeuppance there. You know, this is a real sort of plotter's course where you've got to get your yardage, your spot on, and avoid all the serious trouble spots. And I don't think they've got enough time to get a sort of foolproof plan in place for that.
What was your favourite memory from Valhalla in 2008? Some trip, wasn't it, mate?
None of them were anywhere near the golf course.
No. We saw Muhammad Ali, didn't we? Do you remember?
Yeah, we did see Muhammad Ali.
Really?
No, that was terrific.
Fantastic,
yeah,
wasn't it?
No, there was a great atmosphere in the heart of Louisville, wasn't there? Well, we saw Henrik Stenson in an elevator, didn't we? That was nice.
Yeah.
We were staying in the same hotel as the players, weren't we?
And we made friends with Oliver Wilson's brother, didn't we? Do you remember?
Yeah, we did make good friends with him, yeah.
What was that burger bar? White Castle. And you ordered and you said, I'll have 12 hamburgers, please. And she said, no, that's not how it works. But you got through about nine of them, didn't you?
She goes, where are you from, London? Yeah, I just want to have a big long chat. A big queue behind me. She wanted to talk about London.
Yeah, it was great. Anyway, we need Ian's view. I think, Ian, you're very pro-Europe, aren't you?
I am. I'll just add to the bits that I have for the first question. Like I was mentioning the course form. Fleetwood and Aaron already winners here in the last 3 years. Molinari's been second here three times in the last six. Ollison, Ram, Casey, Garcia have all had high finishes in this course in the last number of years. Obviously, with the negative side, looking through the US, they're laced with bombers who like to take the driver off the tee and be aggressive. The Golf National restricts us their ability to do this. Like players have been saying this week that they might be able to hit five drivers max in their matches, which is big negative again for the Americans. I also feel like Europe are a lot stronger in the tail of the team compared to 2 years ago. Like, I looked at the rookies in 2016. There was Danny Willett, Chris Wood, Rafa Cabrera-Bejo, and Andy Sullivan, and Matt Fitzpatrick, and Thomas Peters. And look at the rookies this year: Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Alex Noren, Torbjörn Olsen, and John Ram, all almost world elite level players. So that's a very, very strong tail, all to go with a strong nucleus with the other seven kind of veterans that are there. Like, I think this gives Europe probably their strongest 12-man team in about 8 to 10 years. As we said, I make this Europe an odds-on shot here, so the 5-4 present looks great value to me.
And Ian, would you say that the Americans have potentially got more out-of-form guys in their team than Europe do? I mean, I'm looking at, you know, Mickelson was a comedy act last week, virtually, wasn't he? Barber tailed off. Patrick Reed's form isn't very strong, is it?
Absolutely, and like especially Reed, they will be looking to Reed to be one of their stalwarts of the week, probably trying to get them out to play him to play five matches, and obviously a concern with his form. As you mentioned, Bubba and Phil are in terrible form. Finau, can he really be trusted on this sort of course? Webb Simpson as well. Yeah, I like you're looking through, when you're trying to find a bet in these sort of in the Ryder Cup, you're kind of looking for, obviously you're going to have the very, very good top six players, they're all going to be world level, but then the tail is what is going to win you the Ryder Cup, and I think Europe have a much stronger tail than the US at present.
Great stuff.
You talk about those two rookies, the rookies on the European team, Tommy Fleetwood and Alexander Noren are both European rookies. Mm. They're also the last two winners of the French Open at Le Golf National. So I agree with Ian. I think this is a much stronger team than last time.
Very strong. Yeah. Okay, let's look at the top scorers next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, so Steve Palmer and Paddy Power's Ian McLaughlin, both very, very confident that Europe will win the Ryder Cup. Steve, your passion for this event has been rekindled. You were very down on it in previous weeks, saying it's nothing, doesn't matter. But it sounds like you might be strapping on those betting boots more than you thought this week.
Well, it's a tricky conundrum for punters, the Ryder Cup, because you don't know who's playing who. You don't know. You know, Thomas Bjorn could completely lose the plot and just pick Thorbjørn Olesen for five matches because he's his best mate, you know. You know, you never know what the captains might do to throw a spanner in the works. So you don't want to be going crazy this week. And you know, I think you need to bet even more responsibly than normal this week.
Okay.
I have had a few little tickles here and there, I must admit.
Okay, we'll find out about those. Let's start with the top European point scorer. Ian, take me through Paddy Power's prices and remind us of the juicy each-way terms.
Sure, we're 5th-4 places in the top European this week. Rory McIlroy and Justin Rose Heather Benning at 9-2. Tommy Fleetwood 7-1. Francesco Molinari 7-1. John Rahm 8-1. Ian Poulter 9-1. Paul Casey 10-1. Henrik Stenson 10-1. Alex Noren 12-1. Sergio Garcia 12-1. Tyrrell Hatton 22-1. And Thorbjørn Olesen 25-1.
Steve, I want to have a very big bet on Tommy Fleetwood. Is that a good move?
I don't think that's a good move. No, I'm sorry. Okay. I'd put you off that one because I'm everyone's presuming that Tommy's going to have a huge role in this. But I think the European side is strong enough that he doesn't need to play five matches. May not play. You know, may not even play four. I'm not sure. I mean, it's all guesswork. But I wouldn't be piling to Tommy Fleetwood.
Well, Ian thinks that he knows the pairing. So Ian, remind us who you went for last week with the pairing. Oh, he was very confident.
Has he got a mole? Is he?
No, he's got a mole. He's just worked it out. Go on, Ian. Who's the European pairings for first morning?
European pairings would be Stenson Rose. So it's four balls in the morning. So Stenson Rose, Rory John Rahm, Francesco Molinari, and who was my other one there with him? It was Paul Casey and Sergio Garcia and Alex Noren.
Oh, okay, right. Blimey, I better not back Fleetwood then because he wouldn't play. Steve, who's going to be top European?
Sergio Garcia is going to be top European at a very tasty price because I think the form concerns have been a little bit overblown. His form actually in European Tour events recently is not that bad. Had a nice little confidence booster in the Portugal Masters last time out, and his Ryder Cup record is obviously incredible. I think Sergio Garcia will come alive. I think he's got a natural pairing there with John Rahm. I think in the four balls, Garcia will play with John Rahm. And then I think in the foursomes, I don't think Rahm will be trusted. So I think Francesco Molinari is a potential partner for Garcia in the foursomes.
Well, they won't miss the cut and prepared too often, those two, will they?
Very much so, John. So I think Garcia could easily play five matches. I think a lot of people are misjudging how much Thomas Bjorn rates him and how much Thomas Bjorn is going to use him. Thomas Bjorn in interviews this week has talked about Garcia being an integral part of his team. And I think that could calculate into five matches. And I think he's a massive price.
What are you, 12-1, Ian?
We're 12-1 currently, with the extra
12-1
for that.
Yeah, 12-1. Yeah, an informed Garcia. I mean, it's been a bit hyped up, I think, the Garcia form drop.
Okay, right. Well, Steve fancies the Gas. Who do you fancy, Ian?
I like Francesco Molinari to be top European point scorer this week. Obviously, has a great record at Le Golf National with the 3 seconds since 2010. Like, in the past 2 years, he's elevated himself to be an elite player on the world stage. Obviously, the Open champion from Carnoustie in July. Currently, he's a race to buy about 1.5 million, so he is the best player in Europe at the moment. I think he'd be a key component all week and should play all five matches. I think he'd be one of those players who'd be a good partner for like the likes of maybe Rory, Paul Casey and Sergio Garcia. Maybe into Tommy Fleetwood later on in the week, on the Saturday maybe. I think prices are around... where is he with us? He's 7-1 with us at the moment, 9-1 out there. I think that looks more than fair. I'll also put him up as a play in the top overall point score at 20-1 as well.
20-1. And how are you betting this? Five places on the overall.
Five places for that too, yeah.
Beautiful. Good
You're
stuff.
30-1 Garcia, aren't you, Ian? You still 30-1 Garcia,
yes,
for the
top overall.
Oh, top
22 to 1 now. There's a bit of cash around for him.
Yeah, there's plenty about for top overall scorer, because Europeans tend to be the top overall scorer, don't they?
Yes.
I think the last 11 years, is it? Eight out of the last 11, was it? I'm just working on the preview, the pullout at the moment, but I've noticed that the top overall scorer tends to be European, so I'd go Garcia for that as well.
Would you split your stake there, Steve, then maybe have him each way for top Europe and a little bit each way on the overall, yeah?
Yeah, why the devil not?
Indeed. Okay, let's look at top American. What's the latest betting in?
Latest betting again, we're fifth, four places. Dustin Johnson has the betting at 9-2, Justin Thomas 11-2, Brooks Koepka 6-1, Tiger Woods 13-2, Jordan Spieth 13-2, Patrick Reed 15-2, Ricky Fowler 10-1, Bryson DeChambeau 11-1, Webb Simpson 16-1, Tony Finau 22-1, and Bubba Watson and Phil Mickelson at 25-1.
Interesting, Steve, because obviously you were very down on Dustin Johnson last week with his marital or his relationship difficulties. He didn't do too badly in the end. But I think the problem here is not so much affairs of the heart as affairs of the big dog, isn't it? He's going to run out of fairway, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he's not going to be able to unleash the driver very much, and that's obviously his favourite club. And he also seems to be bubbling over with frustration on the greens. Then he went cross-handed. He suddenly changed his grip to cross-handed before the final round of the Tour Championship. So his putting frustrations are getting to him. The relationship crisis is ongoing, even though the lovely Paulina has made the trip. We don't really know whether that's it's just an
might be worth looking at the body language during the opening ceremony there.
I think you're right. But yeah, I think Johnson is not the one to be on this way. I think my selection will surprise a few people, but I think Jordan Spieth is the right option for top USA. I think Furyk have placed a lot of trust in Spieth. There have been signs during the last few months that Spieth is could get his act together again, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Ryder Cup brings out the best in him. You know, he needed a change of format, I think, to get him going again. And
play with, Steve?
Well, this is the key to the bet. I don't think he can get a bad partner, can he? Because that little club that he's got going, it's basically going to be Justin Thomas or Ricky Fowler. Or Patrick Reed. Sorry, I mean, you've got three players there that he's very close to, that all three of them will be fantastic partners. So you almost guaranteed Spieth getting a good partner when he plays. And I think there's a good chance he'll play five matches. Certainly if he starts off well and the old master Spieth comes back. I think he's a little bit disrespected this week in that market.
Okay, and Ian, of the Americans who might actually take to the course, I guess Spieth is one, isn't it? An intelligent plotter.
Absolutely, he kind of relishes these sort of courses where you have to really think. It's not just bum and gouge and kind of overpower the course. Yeah, so I would tend to agree. I think that's a good angle from Steve for sure.
And who's your main tip for top American, Ian?
My main tip is Justin Thomas. Finished eighth here in the French Open, went on like kind of a US recon mission at the end of June. I think it'd be a linchpin of the US team this week. Like, as Steve mentioned, I'm going to mention it here too, he'll probably have partnerships with the likes of Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth, which I think would ensure him playing five matches. Going back to his first team event last September in the Presidents' Cup, he played five matches. He had three wins, one draw, one loss. That included two wins and a draw with Fowler in the four balls and the foursomes. As we've mentioned, I have my doubts about the market leaders, Dustin and Brooks Koepka, and the suitability of the course. Price is a 7-1 out there. I think it looks a very solid bet for me this week.
And Ian, give us your opening four ball pairing for the Americans.
So the opening four balls will be Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, and Tiger Woods and Bryson DeChambeau.
Interesting. Is DeChambeau the sort of player who actually might take to this track as well, do you think, Steve?
Yeah. DeChambeau's got plenty to offer, and obviously the rumours are rife he's going to be playing with Tiger Woods, but I don't know how much he's going to be playing with Tiger Woods, because I can't see DeChambeau playing certainly no more than twice before the single. So it's all up in the air on the pairings. I mean, I've done the same as Ian. I've written down what I think's going to happen, but I don't know for sure. I haven't got any moles in the camp. And I mean, Ian's benched Patrick Reed there for the opening four balls. Patrick Reed will be fuming. Oh, haven't you? Oh, sorry. Phil Mickelson was the one I wanted to talk about. I mean, where do you fit Phil Mickelson into your plans? Mm. You know, Phil Mickelson could be a very disruptive influence in the dressing room if he's just totally ignored by Jim Furyk. You know, he's got to play a four balls before the singles, really, just to keep Phil Mickelson happy. And I think that'll have to be the best one for that is the opening four balls, because he's got the experience. He won't
surely
be
build
by that,
a lead
that
and then
morning.
Stick him out there on Saturday morning, won't he?
I would have thought that. Yeah.
Well, no, they won't be building any leads.
Fair enough.
But no, I thought Fowler and Mickelson might get a run on the first morning.
Then
Mickelson bench for the rest of the week.
Fascinating stuff. Let's look at top rookie. What is the latest betting there, please, Ian?
Top rookie. So Justin Thomas has the betting again at 3-1. John Rahm at 4-1. Tommy Fleetwood 9-2. Bryson DeChambeau 5-1. Alex Narn 8-1. Tony Finau 10-1. Thorbjørn Olesen 12-1. And Tyrrell Hatton at 12-1.
Quick selection from each of you, Steve.
Top rookie. Rambo.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you play with Garcia and get four balls points, yeah. And okay. This doesn't look an ideal course for him, but he did well there in the French Open this summer. He finished fifth.
And what about you, Ian? What's your top rookie?
Justin Thomas. I think he's going to play five matches. The rest in this market could play max three. I think that's a massive edge already to start the market. So 3-1 looks solid.
Okay.
See that taping on his wrist there last week? Ian?
I did, yeah.
I just sort of worried me a bit. You know, he's been playing a lot of golf and... I just wonder if he might have a little niggle there. I don't know.
Blimey. Well, watch out for that. Beware the injured golfer, though, Steve, as we know only too well. Let's throw the floor open to the both of you. You've got all these other markets. There's a myriad of betting opportunities. Where else might there be a bit of value, Steve?
I think Tiger Woods' top American wildcard is probably the most solid bet of the lot. Phil Mickelson, as I say, is in miserable form. I think he'll perhaps get one match and probably lose it. And so you rule him out. DeChambeau, probably play with Woods for maybe one session, possibly two, but Woods will play other sessions, and he'll probably have Patrick Reed as his partner for another one. And then Finau, like Ian said, I don't know why you can fit Finau in very often, perhaps just one four balls outing. So I think Tiger is going to get at least four, possibly five outings, and that'll be enough to be the top American wild card.
Okay, Ian, what else have you got for us?
The one I like in the extra markets is the day one foursomes winner. It's Europe at 13-8. I think this is where they're going to try and build their lead against the US is in the foursomes. They're obviously a very volatile team. The USA playing one ball between them, like Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, the likes of Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed. They can be erratic at times. I think this European setup has very, very strong foursomes appearance. The likes of your Fleetwoods, Garcias, Molinaris, Norins, McIlroys, they're all great, very, very good ball strikers like that, and most of them are very straight. Most of them are just tee to green merchants. This is what you need in foursomes. You only have to shoot probably two or three under par here as a foursome, and you should win the game quite cosily. So I think that 13-8 looks a very, very solid bet on day one.
Okay, don't forget, so in the morning it's four balls where all of them play, they each play their own ball all the way to the hole, and then in the afternoon we have foursomes where they take alternate shots. Righty-ho, chaps, thank you very much indeed for that. We'll get more wit and wisdom from you and the best bets, but coming up now, the tipping legend that is Jeremy Chapman.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place five bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back then to the Racing Post Ryder Cup Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I've got Steve Palmer and Paddy Power's Ian McLaughlin with me. And I've also got, I'm delighted to say, the legend, the doyen of golf tipping, the great Mr. Jeremy Chapman. Jeremy, what was your first Ryder Cup memory?
My first Ryder Cup memory was that famous concession by Jack Nicklaus against Tony Jacklin at Royal Birkdale in 1969, which is the first Ryder Cup I ever went to.
Oh, lovely. And you've seen the event grow and grow. How much are you looking forward to this one? It should be decent, shouldn't it?
Well, I like both sides. I think it's a very good contest, a high-grade contest. I don't think we've got any passengers this time like the deadbeats we had last time, Westwood and Keimer, who shouldn't have been side on the current form. So I think both sides are very good, and I think they're going to be very close.
What's your outright fancy, Jay?
Outright fancy, as I tipped in the Racing Football Outlet this morning, is a tie at 12 to 1. I think we're about due one. I was at the one in 1969 I've just mentioned, and also at the one at the Belfry in 1989 was also a tie, and I think there should be an odd tie that now and again. I mean, everyone would say that this has got the makings of a classic match, and I think it will be.
Okay, so Jay, who's going to be top scorer for America?
Oh, I've got a good one there, Webb Simpson. Webb Simpson, I think he's 25 to 1 in the paper this morning. He's in tremendous form. He was fourth at the weekend, sixth in the last one of the FedEx qualifiers, won the Players' Championship. A new man now that he's got his putting sorted out. He lost his game for a while because they banned the anchored putter, and he was in limbo then, but he's now back playing one of the best games of years of his life, and I think that price is getting him back three places. I think it's a very good price.
Okay, and top European?
Again, I'm going for a surprise. Francesco Molinari is not in great form after his wonderful summer, but he's a class act round this course. He's, say, three times runner-up. He's had a great season winning at Wentworth and, of course, the Open Championship. And he's a new man, confidence-wise. You always worry that he felt a bit daunted by the power men in the past, but he's now one of them, one of the stars. He's a major winner and a great asset to our side, I think. And also John Rahm, I like him as the best debutant, best rookie. He's about 9-2 there. And Molinari has just been back from 11-1 yesterday to 9-1 today. I think that's a good each-way steal there.
Lovely. Anything else catch your eye, Jeremy?
No, I fancy the tie at 12 to 1, 14-14. We've had a lot of very close encounters in 14.5, 13.5, very few wide margin winners. We lost by 6 last time, but we didn't really have the right team with us, I don't think. But it wouldn't have made much difference because the Americans were on home ground. This time we've got home advantage. No American team has won over here since 1983, I think it is. It's a long, long time, and a lot of their team have got negative records in the competition, and they leave scars.
Okay, Jay, thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy your week. Great to hear from Jeremy Chapman there. Right, let's get the lads' naps. Okay, Steve, away you go. What's going to be, what if you're only having one bet on the Ryder Cup this week, what would it be?
It would be Europe to win the trophy. I think they were trading at 2.44 on the exchanges last night. And I don't understand why they're not. Yeah, I make it a much closer match than that.
Okay, and Ian, what's your single best bet of the week?
Single best bet of the week would be Henrik Stenson, top Scandinavian player. Alex Narn and Torbjørn Olsen in this market. They're probably going to play max 2 times, I would have thought, while Stenson's going to bring back his good relationship with Justin Rose, so possibly could play 5 matches. I think that even money's one of the best bets of the week.
Excellent stuff. And Ian, are you chained to the desk all weekend trading away?
I am. It's going to be a long weekend. So 6:30 starts Friday, Saturday, and then in a little bit later for the single. So
do they ship in some pizzas and some beers for you as the night?
They do. Well, not beers. On. They don't want you to have cut trading the event, but they have pizzas there for you and stuff like that. So yeah, you're well looked after.
That must be a tough old gig, that, isn't it? So you're in the office at 6:30 and you're there till, you know, till they finally come out with the parents for the next day, I guess.
Almost, yeah. We kind of have 3 or 4 guys. I might be 6:30 to maybe 5:30 or something like that. Once play finishes, then the guys who are on a little bit later will probably set up the matches for the next day. Yeah. So it's a long out week, yeah.
It is.
That's
Steve, you think you've got it?
Yeah, Bruce.
I wish.
What's money for?
Steve, what are you going to be doing? Sprawling on the sofa?
Yeah, I will sprawl on the sofa as much as family commitments allow.
Yeah,
I don't think Grace will allow me to sprawl for that for as long as Ian's odds compiling, but I'll do my level best.
Excellent. Well, good luck, lads. Thank you very much indeed. We are back next week. We're looking ahead to the Dunhill Links and the Safeway Open, which is the first event of the American Tour. Do please join us for that. Thank you very much for joining us for this Ryder Cup special.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.